aspect of life that is controlled by mind. Our mind being not in our control, it is all very difficult. So Lord understands that for us it is really, really very, very difficult. He tells this to Arjuna that the verse 35th in 6th chapter, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagena Chagriyate. The Blessed Lord said, undoubtedly, O mighty armed one, Arjuna, the mind is restless and hard to control. Yet, by practice and dispassion, O son of Kunti, it is controlled. Arjuna is called here with two very specific and very symbolic names. Mahabaho, that mighty armed. Remember your strength. Why you are not alluding to your strength and to, rather you are thinking of your weakness, I cannot do it. Think of your strength. You are a person of immense strength. So look at what great achievements you have had in your life. So think of that. Secondly, you are son of Kunti. So look what Kunti sought in life. She was not like the ordinary women in the sense that she, when Lord asked her a boon, what do you ask of me? And Kunti replies, that, O Lord, bring calamities in our life. Can anybody ask such thing in life? An ordinary person will not say that. Ordinary person will say, oh, bring more happiness, more money, more fame, name and fame, and such things in our life. Let my professional life be a great success. Let me become the greatest businessman in my field, let me earn more and more money, and so forth. Let my health be always good. But Kunti, she said, Lord, bring vipada santuna shashwat. Vipad means calamities. Bring hardships and calamities to our life. As the mother of these five Pandavas, she had actually enough share of them already. She had to go about with them and she suffered that all that loss because her sons lost the kingdom and so forth. And because the sons had to suffer, the mother's sufferings were immense too. So, it is, she already had a big share of that and she had seen what these calamities bring. They form your resolve and also they bring the reliance on God more and more in life. So she said that why I want, you know, when the calamities come, then O Lord, you come to our rescue and thus we get to see you. So otherwise the idea is though when there are no calamities, things are going on very smoothly, we don't feel the need of God. That okay, everything is fine, my health is very good, I have lot of money with me and I am managing things very well. We do not feel the need of God. When that desperation comes, oh, I don't know now what am I going to do. It is then we think of some higher principle, O Lord. And then, because the prayer is sincere, the Lord answers it. So that is here the Lord wants to remind Arjuna, think, you know, whose son you are. It is not for boasting, but for reminding that, look, you should also have that kind of courage. And he describes that there are no shortcuts. There are no simple formula that you just do this, take this pill, and you will become this, you will be able to control the mind. There is no pill available in the medical stores that you can go and buy and take one every day. That also requires persistence and practice. Many times you forget to take or are not very particular about it. In fact, that is a problem with this medical disciplines that people are told to follow, that they are not careful even about that. So, it is, but this is not just taking a pill. It requires much more stringent and very strenuous effort in that direction. And another thing he told is, you have to stop doing everything else that interferes with this effort and does not let it succeed. So, these two principles are called the spiritual practice and developing dispassion. One is positive, another is negative. Both are included by Lord in this because they together form really what is called sadhana or spiritual discipline. That like when you are following a path to get to a destination, you have to drive, you have to go on driving and do not drive on the wrong street in the wrong direction. You have to drive but also drive on the right track. So, efforts are to be made in the right direction, and also we must restrain ourselves from going in the wrong direction. Both these things are important. Lord says that there is absolutely no doubt, Arjuna, what you said is perfectly right, that mind is very difficult to control. It is all the time vibrating and is not steady at all. That is the nature of mind. And so, what you said, it is difficult to control, is correct. But it is difficult, not impossible. Difficult means you have to put in the right quantity of efforts in the right manner, and then it gets done. That is the meaning of difficult. Whatever is difficult through practice, through proper efforts, becomes easy. That we see in most ordinary things in life, that something that before we got into that is very difficult. After gradually getting accustomed through practice, we master it. Even like bicycling appears very difficult initially. I fell a few times and thought that it is so difficult thing. I thought of giving it up altogether. But through a little persistence, after about 7 or 8 attempts, I found I can do it. So that is how many things which apparently at first go seem to be difficult, impossible, through the practice, through going through this discipline, happier, quiet, easy. I was in my childhood was asked to learn that juggling of the balls, that balls, and you juggle them for 3 or 4, keep on bouncing them in your hands, and it is so difficult apparently. My grandfather used to do it and I liked the way, and so I asked, can you teach me? It looked very nice. I was about 7-8 years old. So he said, yes, sure, but you have to do practice every day. Every day you must do practice for 10 minutes. Now 10 minutes is for that age is rather a long span of for concentration. So, but he was a very strict disciplinarian. So he would say, no, you must do, come on. And the balls I would take and they would just fall. It was frustrating, you know, very frustrating. But he said, no, come on, do it. Methodically do it. Don't worry, take just one ball and then throw it in this manner. He gave training. And it was not at all a happy experience to go through all that, let me tell you. I was regretting after the first day that why did I ask him that I want to learn it. But after about, say, 10-12 days, I saw, wow, yes, it is possible, I can do it. And then gradually, you know, I started doing it, walking and just sitting anywhere, doing many tricks with that. It became just very natural. It is even that day, even if I am not very conscious, it would happen automatically then. It could be done automatically without paying much attention. In fact, even if I think that I will drop the ball, it was not easy then. It became that that much ingrained in the nervous system that now it has to happen right. It won't go wrong. So you get that kind of success in something just by practice. So it is here too. One has to do practice. But of course, this is certainly a more difficult task than those. One needs a really, a very earnest, powerful, and relentlessly carried practice for a long, long time. One has to be really persistent in that. It has to be done regularly. Regularity is very important. Practice includes all these things. That one has to make up the mind. If one doesn't make up the mind, if one keeps on postponing it, maybe after 10 days or next year or after I retire and so forth, then it won't work. One has to start in right earnest, right away. And it has to be done regularly and persistently. It is the failures will come. That we decided to do it today, but again there will be a rebellion in mind tomorrow. That, enough, I did it for 3 days, isn't it? That is enough. Should I do it every day? One gentleman, he is a very nice person, a really sincere seeker. And then I had told him that you come every day. And he did for a few days and then asked me, that do you mean I should come every evening here and do my meditations? It is and so what other life? I cannot go then here, there. I look other people, they go to party, they have some other friends, and what about that? Well, if you want to realize goal, then you have to be persistent, you see. If you have a job at that time, do you ask the same question? No, you do it, you do your job. You don't say that, should I do it every day? Well, if your job requires you to do it every day, you have to do it. You cannot escape that. Do you ask this question about, oh, do I have to eat every day, and it is, should it not be limited to once a week? We don't ask this question. It is only when it is about spiritual practice, then we start asking this question, that should I do it every day, and why should I not get some concession? Well, it is, you get concession, you lose, that's all. It is, therefore, a regular, relentlessly done practice. Persistence is very important there. See how persistent we are when we are really earnest. If we are really earnest, we are very persistent. It is, and through that, seemingly impossible works also get done. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell a nice story that a person was terribly worried, as he should, when his little son was sick, and the thing condition was worsening every day. There was he had lost all hope, but somehow wanted that no, something must be done. And one doctor, one came there. He was a doctor in the sense he was a saintly person, a hermit, and then told, yes, he can be cured, but you have to work for it. What? See, it is on this particular constellation called, they call it Swati Nakshatra, this Nakshatra, that particular constellation, at night you go out and find a skull, and the rain should come at that time, and you collect the raindrops in that human skull. Then you will see, you have to go on and find out if there is such a condition that a frog is being chased by a snake, and the snake is pouncing on the frog, but the frog gives a slip to the snake, and the poison that was reserved for the frog falls. Comes out, and because the frog escaped, now this poison has to fall in that skull, that where there is the rainwater, in that poison must fall, and at that time the moonlight should fall in that, that moon should shine in that. That becomes the medicine for this child. Now, is it possible the all these ingredients, that particular constellation has to be there, and then you must find the skull, then rains must come at that time. And see how many very difficult, improbable things. Then see that snake chasing a frog, almost about to bite, and the frog gives a slip, and the poison has to fall right in that skull bowl, and the moonlight should be reflected in that. All this very difficult. But earnestness, I must do everything to save my little son. Because of that earnestness, he said, let me give it a try. Let me give it an earnest try. Although impossible, looks so difficult. That doesn't matter. I will give it a try. So with that positive attitude, this person goes and keeps on praying, O Lord, may this thing happen. And well, because of his earnestness and attempt, things start happening. Gets the skull. Oh Lord, thank you very much, I got this skull. Now do something so that that rain will come. And yes, the clouds gathered and the rain fell. Oh, thank you Lord, you are great. Now the next things also, please make arrangement. I need to save my son. And the things happened. And the child was ultimately saved. So all impossibilities, apparently. But yes, that gets done because of earnestness. If we are earnest, the things do not appear impossible. We feel, I must give it a try. I have to give it a try. It is not possible. Things happen in your life, you must have experienced situation. I have experienced plenty of them. That when it appeared that there is very little hope, almost none, but the thing was so important, I didn't want to give it up. Even there was the slightest one little ray of hope, you persist. Yes, let me do it. And you get it done. The things get done. If one is earnest, earnestness, friends, has a great value in our life. If we are earnest about something, then we will make efforts with that intensity. Then we will not say that it is so difficult to get up in the morning. Well, it is really not that difficult, matter of just practice, you see. It is, we will not then complain about some minor inconveniences. We will take up things in right earnest. So, that is very important, to have that earnestness. Then, through that earnestness, we should not relax, thinking that many times we do it for some time and feel, hey, now my mind has become calm. You know that the other day I saw a vision, some light, and then, well, done, you know. Now I don't have to be that strict in life. No, friends. One has to go on till the goal is reached. It is therefore to be carried on. One has to go on with it. No giving up in the middle. So as Vivekananda says, that arise, awake, and stop not till the goal is reached. So, this is a very important thing in practice, that it has to be done also powerfully and not in a just lifeless manner. Okay, a little bit I will do. No, no, do it as much capacity you have, as much strength you have, apply it. You have to apply all available strength and do it. It should not be a weakling's practice. Okay, a little bit I will do. No, it has to be done with full strength. And then one has to carry it on for a long time without giving up. Hold on to it. There will be setbacks. But that doesn't mean you should give up. Setbacks are going to be there. That doesn't mean at all that you are on a wrong track or something. No. The setbacks are part of this. Setbacks means that you have been progressing and there is an obstacle right there in the path. Now, go beyond that. Like when you are driving in some direction, there is some curvy roads on the path. If you reach there, not that you have hit an obstacle, that is part of the road. So it is, you have to take it. So similarly, on this path of spiritual progress, there are pitfalls, there are the difficulties. We have to take them in stride and with that firm resolve, proceed. And then this is about the practice, about the dispassion. Dispassion is to be developed. That what else do I have otherwise to get in this life? What is there? Everything comes and goes. All pleasures, they come and go. The youth just very quickly gets transferred into old age. It is all these things that I see as so dear, after a while lose their charm. What am I going to get in life if not this important thing? If I give up effort to get this, and the life has really nothing worth getting. I may get a few PhDs, what does it matter? It doesn't make much of a difference. I may get some promotions in my job, what difference does it really make? I may get many, many other things, but they are all evanescent, transitory. Are they really of such worth that for this I should give up this goal of life? So one should think about it and withdraw mind from that. Yes, mind gets entangled into the works that we do. Then, of course, all the our relations and connections, the mind gets embroiled into them. That my son, my daughter, my parents, my so-and-so, all these things keep on binding us. This is all appears so concrete, but it is all product of our imagination born of ignorance, that some piece of flesh and blood, I think that it is my daughter or my son or my grandson, and it goes on. It has no end, you know. It never stops. And the attachment to them is the source of misery for everyone. And the one who gets attached, they also suffer, and the persons to whom you are attached, they also suffer because of that attachment. It is therefore very important to look at that. That is it right? This attachment is a big bane. We try to support this attachment, calling it love. Friends, it is a big, big mistake that we do in life. We have discussed it many times, that love is really very different from attachment. In fact, attachment means less love. The more is the attachment, less is the love. Attachment demands, love gives. Attachment is I and mine. Love is, well, Lord, thou alone are real. That is love. Love is not attachment at all. In case of love, I don't want to elaborate further. It is a topic in itself, a different topic. But let us understand this and not try to camouflage our attachments with the idea of love. When you use nice sounding words, those things which are bad, they look very nice. Just you use a nice word for that, that's all. It is, instead of calling it attachment, call it, no, love. And then, well, since love is nice and good, love has that connotation. Love is nice and good and we must love. And since we are calling the attachments love, so I don't have to give up the attachment. And thus, well, we keep on having this bondage in life. We can never become free. So therefore, one has to, with great courage, learn to sever these attachments. And then we will be able to love much more. As one experiences this, through experience one can understand it, that the lesser is the attachment, more you will be able to really love. It is most important, therefore, to develop dispassion, even to be able to love. If we care our loved ones, even for loving them, we should develop this spirit of detachment, so that we will be able to really love them. Otherwise, well, my ideas are imposed on my loved ones. Because they are my loved ones, so I must bring them up as I like. As I like, what I think is right, I keep on imposing on them. And gradually that becomes a big problem in family because of the loved ones. Whether we are really loving or we are getting attached is something that we must look into. It is very easy to say that, well, I love so and so. Well, how much do we love that person? There are tests. It is usually due to connections, that I am connected to you, I get something from you through that connection, and therefore that love flows. If that connection is not there, then the love will not flow there. It is not really the love, but attachment, the possessivity, you want to possess things, the sense of proprietorship. My so-and-so, my wife, or my husband, my son, my daughter, my is a very important ingredient in that so-called love. It is, if not my, then there is not love or anything. What is that then? What was being called as love? It was the attachment that was being erroneously thought as love, called as love. So therefore, let us understand what problems this attachment brings in our life. Many things that we understand to be very valuable principles of life, they also get flouted because of this attachment. Being called love doesn't help. For example, the principle of justice. And we all want justice, that there should be justice in society. But if I am attached to something, some person, then the principle of justice doesn't work in life. And that if, because I always want different rules to be applied to my so-and-so. And they all, for all, everybody, the rules are same, But my son is special, you see. My son should not be getting all this punishment because he is really good. A nice argument that I hear that the parents advance. No, he hasn't done that crime really. You know, he was misled into that. But do you give the same concession to others? That you will not find these are all antisocials. They should be given. That is why there is the Justice Department. They should take care of them. Laws are meant for that. But mine means you cannot really then follow the principle of justice if we are attached. My country, well, it is different something. What rules I apply to other countries, I feel that my country should not be subjected to them because it is mine. It is, it all happens, we see this happening. Why does this happen? Because of the attachment. Attachment distorts most important and cherished values of life, and therefore, as looking at these, the attachments should be banished. Dispassion should be developed about all the earthly enjoyments. Looking at the results that they ultimately bind you, whatever enjoyment you expect from any person or anything. One has asked these questions very often. Isn't it natural to expect enjoyment from things around you? It is natural, but doesn't mean that it is right. Things may be natural. We camouflage these things, get confusion about these things. That something is natural doesn't mean it is right. It can be very natural, but the progress happens only by conquering the nature. It is not by just following what the nature tells you to do. Nature may tell you to steal. And does it mean that it is for many people, stealing is so natural, comes naturally. It is so, should I therefore go on stealing? It is the improvement, progress, culture comes through a striving against nature. It is therefore the word cultivation comes. Cultivation, otherwise it is all just forest. The weeds and trees and whatever, they keep on growing on their own. Can you have a garden? No. Can you have farming? No. That all requires cultivation, struggle against nature. In fact, that is the main principle of evolution also, that it is a struggle against the impending these natural problems. So therefore, it is, we should not say that it is natural to get attracted. Look at what happens when you get attracted to something, either a person or a thing, and to get some pleasure out of it. For every ounce of pleasure, 10 times of that suffering has to be paid. The price has to be paid in that terms. We have all here enough experience of life. None of us are babies here. And if we analyze that whatever we ran after to get happiness, has it not brought equal amount of misery, at least equal amount? It is. In fact, Swamiji says if pleasures increase in arithmetic proportion, the suffering increases in geometric proportion. It is like that. So thinking of these, one should not run after the pleasures. So these two practices, these are matters of practice need to be carried on, relentlessly carried on. It may appear painful, but as I told that many such things, climbing up, this is against gravitation, but climbing up is necessary. And we, as we climb up, there is a higher, different kind of joy that comes in life. And the conquering of nature, controlling the mind, that brings a very different kind of joy in life. The more one establishes control over mind, the nature of that joy becomes very different. Bhagavad Gita has described that earlier. Later on also there will be occasions to describe. So Lord tells Arjuna, although it is difficult, by applying this twofold method, twofold means making firstly the earnest efforts as the spiritual practices, you know, to do your spiritual practices, do the meditations, concentration, repeat the mantra or whatever, in a disciplined way one has to do it. Direct the life towards this goal. And second aspect, do not get carried away by the objects around you and develop dispassion for them. So with this twofold method, yes, he said, mind is brought under control. Lord has assured that it can be done. It is difficult, but can be done. And then in the next verse, he tells that the other thing, that it is possible, and then there is no other way. He tells it very clearly, that there is no choice about it. Had there been an easier way, I might have told, but there is no easier way. He says that asanyatatmana yogo dushprap iti me matihi vashyatmana tu yatata shakyo vaptum upayatah. For one whose mind is not controlled, I consider yoga is hard to attain. But it is attainable by one whose mind is under control and who strives through the prescribed means. There is, if you don't control the mind, then you cannot become yogi. There is no other way of doing it. Very clear. That if you are looking for plan B, it doesn't exist. This is the way you have to follow this. If you don't want to control the mind, then, well, get controlled by the mind. That's all. It is, there is no yoga for you. It is, told that it is, Lord says, it is my understanding. It is a bit of a sarcasm is also there, that if you are asking me, I don't know. If you have some plan B, you can follow. But as far as my knowledge goes, I do not know. So, Lord is telling that. So, of course, who has more knowledge than Lord himself? So, he doesn't know means it doesn't exist. Therefore, when we say that nobody knows, sometimes the expression is God alone knows. Means if at all somebody is going to know, that would be God alone would be knowing. So when God doesn't have a plan B, that means there isn't a plan B. One has to go on striving to work out this plan. And there is no other choice for that. Now Arjuna brings about another doubt. That suppose, you know, I am striving for it, but if I die in the middle, then what is the use? This is such a long procedure. And Arjuna, as the Mahabharata story goes, is already was quite advanced in age when the Mahabharata war was being fought. So naturally he must have been worried now. Even otherwise also, so many years and years and years and decades of practice. And it is a long practice, but in the middle, if I die, what will happen to all those efforts that I have put in? They will be all in vain, is it not? So the idea is, why then begin if they are anyway, if they do not become, take me to the end? These two verses of the question of Arjuna illustrate this idea. Arjuna vacha. अयते श्रद्धयोपेतो योगाचलितमानसः अप्राप्य योगसंसिद्धिं कामगतिं कृष्णगच्छति कच्चिन्नो उभयविभ्रष्ट छिन्नाभ्रमिव नश्यति अप्रतिष्ठो महाबाहो विमूढो ब्रह्मणपथि एतन्मे संशयं कृष्ण चेत्तुमर्हस्य शेषतः त्वदन्यः संशयस्यास्य चेत्ता न ह्युपपद्यते. These three verses are Arjuna's. These verses, he said, he who through endowed, though endowed with faith, strives not, and whose mind wanders from yoga, failing to attain the fruition of yoga, what goal, O Krishna, does a person attain? Means he has lost this also and that also, is it not? At least earlier he could get some place, satisfaction from some worldly gains. Now he has decided to give them up. And didn't get that, so gone from both these things, on both sides has lost. This was Arjuna's question. Sounds quite legitimate, is it not? That Vishwanath decides that, well, I will give up everything and then, yeah, but then if I do not get God, before getting the God, if I die, and then I lose this, and lose that, what will happen to me then? Will I be like all those clouds which just come and go, gone? Will it be my condition like that? He says that he who, though endowed with faith, strives not, and whose mind wanders from yoga, failing to attain the fruition of yoga, what goal, O Krishna, does a person attain? Does he not, O mighty arm one, fallen from both and without any support, perish like detached cloud being deluded in the path of Brahman? Being deluded, gone, and neither here nor there. It is like that, just nowhere to go. At least earlier all these earthly pleasures and those were my support. Earlier my this all my and mine, they were my support. Now you said that I should reach the goal and so I give up them. But the path of yoga is so difficult, takes such a long time, and if I do not attain that, then well, I fall, is it not? Suppose I am having, you told that, yes, you can swim from this bank to that bank. You have to get to that bank. Here, you are going to be chased by enemies and will be killed. Therefore, jump and swim and get to the other bank. Oh Lord, that is, looks, you know, yes, I understand that here the enemies are going to pursue me and that bank is safe. But if I jump and start swimming and if I cannot make it, that bank looks far away. If my strength doesn't hold, then I will just fall and just die. I will get drowned. Will that be my fate? It is like you're walking on the rope, so difficult. And I have to walk on the ropeway. If I fall, I was going on some part in the Himalayas, and a man told we wanted to cross the river. It was dark night. And then he said that, well, there is a bridge. You cross the bridge and you get to the other side of the river. Myself and two of my Swami friends were there in the dark. We were with our flashlights. We said, oh, there is no bridge. We came back again, woke up that fellow, said, there is no bridge. No bridge. There is bridge. I came just to this. Where is the bridge? Did you not see that log of wood there? That? Oh my goodness! We went there, saw that rushing stream of that river Jamuna underneath, cold, terribly cold water. We were shivering with cold. It was raining also, and to cross that. It is a very narrow, rickety looking log was put across the two banks, and then that was called bridge. And I thought, wow, if we start walking on that and fall down, on that side there was arrangement for us to stay for the night and all that. Food was ready for us. We were terribly hungry also after having a Himalayan walk of about 13-14 miles. And then it was, so we were looking for all that, shivering with cold, but how to go on the other side. And then we had those walking sticks. I put my stick in the stream just to see how deep the water is. And then the current was so strong, the current just whisked away that stick from my hands. Now we have to cross the bridge without the stick to have a balancing support. Oh my goodness, I could not think of what to do. We started walking one after. We were sure three, and he also told three cannot walk together on that. It will break under the weight. One of us who had a stick intact, he said, "I will go first." A really courageous Swami. So he walked first made it there, you know. It is. And then the other with stick, he also went. And then I was the last, I had no stick. So that fellow hurled his stick from the other bank to me. Then I took it. And then heart was pounding, what will happen if I die there? I was afraid of dying in that cold water. The death was not that much fear, but that water was so cold. It was the really fearsome thing. That was the thought, that what will happen if I fall in between neither here nor there. So Arjuna had that question. It is terrifying, friends, this starting of the spiritual practice in right earnest. You are giving up this. Will I get that? Or I will be finished in between, gone. So this question is an important question. And Lord says, well, Arjuna, you are looking at a very idea of life. It is not limited to this body. If this body perishes before you realize the goal, that doesn't mean all the spiritual practice, all the efforts that you have put in, they go in vain. They will be with you in your next life. It is a journey, like you take a break somewhere, and then you start your journey from there, when you have your breakfast, you take some rest, sleep, and then start from there, it's like that. And nothing that you have attained will get lost. So don't have this fear. We will discuss Lord Krishna's answer in more details later. So in the next Friday's class. So any questions? So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanya Shastra Vistarehi Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namani Yane Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.